was an outcast, a nobody. In fact, when he tried to speak up, everybody tried to silence him. But he wouldn't cave. He knew exactly who was walking by, even though he was blind. Blind Bartimaeus. We will continue our examination of this marvelous man today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Welcome to our program. You'll find us online at agradio.org. Seeing greatness from the cheap seats. That's the title of today's message as Pastor Chris returns us to our journey through Mark. Chapter 10 today, verses 46 through 52. Let's catch up with Pastor Chris as we explore the foolish things that confound the wise with today's Abounding Grace.
This wasn't a sham. I know a lot of them are shams. This wasn't a sham. This is the real deal. He had no way to provide for himself. He had nothing. Oh, of course, the rich young ruler, remember, in contrast, had sprinted to Jesus in all of his strength and in all of his youth and in all of his power and in all that he had and all of his riches. He came, what do I do to inherit eternal life? Here he is, way over here. Help! Can't get up. Don't know where to go. You ever thought that the Lord is constantly putting before us people who have great needs, who are the most difficult, the most unattractive sometimes, needy people, nothing but need. And it's really hard to be around them. You know this. We play the hypocrite. Oh, we're going to serve over there. But we don't serve these people. There's nothing outward that makes you want to spend a minute with them. Really difficult. They're all in your life. Here's the beauty of this. He heard that Jesus was somewhere on the road. He doesn't have the ability to come up to the synagogue to worship every week and hear sermons, right? Might get some apathy that way. He just hears bits and pieces. A little bit here and there. About a man named Jesus of Nazareth. Who's healing. Who's delivering. Who's saving. And I'm thinking he's hearing messages along the way. People talking about what he's saying. Do you know what this man's able to do? He's healing people. He's raised the dead. Great claims are being made, but the whole Pharisees and all of our leaders are against him and want to kill him. No sight. Just really good ears. Never went to the synagogue. Sitting off alone on the road begging. Matthew says there was another beggar with him, blind beggar. It's overwhelming because Mark wants you to say, he's believing. He's believing. Did you notice that he called him? When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he starts yelling out, crying out. Here it is. Think of the witness of this on the road. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That is a remarkable statement. That is a remarkable prayer. That is a remarkable cry. Why? Because in chapter 12, remember, Jesus asked the question of the scribes. How do the scribes say that Christ is the Son of David? The scribes knew that the Messiah was the Son of David. But they would have never said it was Jesus who was the Son of David. He's doing it. Son of David, I believe you are the Messiah. Here it is. Mercy. Mercy. I don't know about you, but this is one prominent prayer in the Bible. You see it? We're always worried about prayer life. So I wonder how much we've ever stopped and said this little powerful prayer. Psalm 51. You just sang out, God be merciful to me. On your grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion now, blot out my transgressions now. God be merciful to me. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a tax collector, the other, or one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee said thus within himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I pray, I fast, I give, and I'm not like that guy. And the publican at the back, see why when I can say front or back doesn't really matter, it's all in the heart, isn't it? Publican at the back beats his chest, wouldn't even look up. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus keeps inspiring that prayer everywhere. Everywhere. This is remarkable. This man kind of knows Heidelberg too. I know the Heidelberg wasn't written then, but what three things must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? He's got two down right now. He's going to get three. How great my sin and misery are. How I'm set free from all my sin and misery. Son of David, have mercy on me. And by the end of this, he'll be the third one. He's following. He believed. It's just, what a glorious section before he enters Jerusalem. What a scene. The seat of a beggar. Out on the road, crying out, believing, confessing, crying for mercy. Didn't Jesus just say the last would be first? And didn't Jesus just say that we have to receive the kingdom as a little child? Do you know how, see what kind of little children he's after? He can't see, but he does see. That's the point. He can't see, but he does see. That's what I love about this. Who sees in this life? With no sight, he sees Jesus. And that's the crux, and that's the heart of the passage. With no ability to have any physical ability to lay his eyes upon Jesus and walk up to the house of the Lord, with no ability to do any of that, so far away, seated in the worst place, with nothing, he sees. And he's not ashamed. He's crying out like a fool, and everyone keeps saying, stop it, stop bugging him, stop crying out, be quiet. And he does it all the more. Son of David, have mercy, mercy on me. Now, I'm going to say something that I've witnessed in the Escondido URC, now being here 4 years. I speak with a lot of people in this church with pastoral needs and struggles. And it's been remarkable to me how many times I have been able to hear from people to say they get the first part of question and answer two. I'm a sinner. I've done a lot of bad things. And throughout the course of their lives, I think, and many of you here maybe today, really struggle with shame and a lot of guilt. But that's where it stops. The most difficult thing, it's a human nature problem, is for us to grasp and receive the love of Christ. I don't think anyone doubts in this room that Jesus died for sinners. But to say that I believe Jesus is the Son of God, the sent one, the anointed one, the Messiah, who came to die for me, is quite another thing to say. To ask him, as a beggar from the cheap seats, in humility, with no desire for greatness, no ability to achieve it, to know that, with an understanding that you have nothing in this life without him and you're going to hell, to say, God, be merciful to me, have mercy on me. To say, Jesus, true God, have mercy on me, is to believe that he has the power to do it. You see? You can't say that if you have no faith. That prayer can only be prayed in faith. And it's a step many don't take. The first question, what must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? I'm a great sinner and I have a lot of misery. That's where it stops. I want you to know something. That when you pray to him, believing, knowing what you, and seeing him in all of your sorrow, Believing him, when you cry to him, when you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, have mercy on me for sinning against you, for being selfish in my life, for all my sins that have brought on this sadness, for wrecking my life, for doing things that I should not have done, the misery that I've experienced, the misery that I've chosen, I want you to know what Jesus does. It's in verse 49. So Jesus stood still. There's something so beautiful to that, isn't there? He just stopped. They're walking in a procession to Jerusalem. He's going to die, and he hears this cry, and feet plant right in his track. Now think of the thousands of people all around him, everyone trying to touch him, all the noise, all the stuff, and out in the distance, way off in the corner, out on the road, there's a faint cry, mercy, and stops. And I believe you have the culmination here of everything he's been teaching. I receive nobodies. I receive the little ones. I receive the messed up ones. Whoever doesn't receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Here's one. Do you guys want to see it? I'm stopping to show you. And we know that Jesus was teaching his disciples that he had come to do in his ministry was to receive the least. Remember what he says, when you receive one of these in my name, you're receiving me. He's training them. And here it is. From the distance, this man is seated, far off, distant, last, begging. Jesus hears the prayer, and he stops, and he then says, command him to come. Just love it. Go tell him to come. Now, this is a big moment, remembering that Jesus set up a ministry, and the disciples are starting to do it. Be of good cheer. They think about what they say. They realize the Master, the Savior, wants him to come. Bartimaeus, be of good cheer. Be happy. Get up. He's calling you. Think of the imagery of this. They had to get him. He can't see. He has no ability to get there. He had already said in chapter 9, go get him and bring him to me, to the little boy, the father and his boy. This is exactly what had to happen. He made his disciples go get him and usher him to the front. That's the imagery. I have a friend. His name's Jerome Avery. He is a guide to David Brown. He's the fastest T11, completely blind sprinter in the world. And Jerome is the guide. And I went to high school with Jerome. He just ran in Rio. You'll never see this because nobody cares much about the Paralympics. It's sad. But he just ran in Rio and broke the 100 record. I watch how Jerome does this. It's really fascinating how they train these blind sprinters. And you think about it. They can't see a thing. So they have to tether together. They take ropes and tether together around their fingers. So when they're running, the sprinter can't go off this way. And Jerome is constantly telling him where to turn, where to go, what to do. And Jerome says in an interview, he lives in San Diego, he said in an interview, he says, yeah, I when I'm talking to him, I have to tell him, you have to completely trust me. Imagine running completely blind. I can't think of a better imagery of the Christian ministry. This is what Christ came to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost and blind and naked and destitute. He went out to the highways and the byways, didn't he, to get them. He went out to find and recover the lost sheep of the house of Israel and recover them. The blind, remember, that's Luke 4, to give sight to the blind. Just those who sit in darkness. The disciples are getting on-site training right now. But I want you to keep in front of you that this is given so that you would know that this is for you. Do you know who you are? Do you struggle with that? Sin has alienated us from God, and we go through this life with the worst kind of shame and the worst kind of guilt and the worst kind of misery, and you could live thinking there is no hope for you because of this misery and because of this sin. But when you see the light and it's passing by you, you should call out for it. You don't think God hears today? You think If you in your heart right now said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he doesn't hear that. In the pit that you're in, that you've dug, and that I dig, look at his desire to take the lowliest. Look at his desire to take the nobody. Look at his desire that everyone disregarded, to say to him and have ministry to him of disciples saying, be of good cheer. He wants you to come. Come. Come to the front. No, I mean you. He's calling you. I was in the grocery store the other day and there was a woman standing in front of me and she's looking right at me. She wouldn't get out of the way. Excuse me. She still wouldn't get out of the way. I felt like a jerk when I saw the cane. So I went way around her. She must have been deaf too. She had no idea she was in the way of anyone. I can't imagine going through life in that darkness. But that's what it's like without Jesus. You know how great the darkness is in people's lives who don't have any light? Jesus was constantly saying it. For a little while longer, the light will be among you. Walk while you have the light so that darkness will not overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. And tonight's sermon is all on light in the tabernacle. Here's what it looks like. He gets up. Everyone's saying, be happy, be joyful. He's calling you to come. And in front of everyone's eyes, I can't imagine the disciples grabbing him, leading him to Jesus, and get the imagery. The last shall be first. He's brought right from the cheap seats right on up to the front of the whole procession. Far off, this beggar was brought to Jesus. He throws off his garments to say, I'm coming. I'll get there. And he stands before Jesus, and he hears these words. Think of the disciples. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? I came to be a servant. What do you want? Son of man did not come to be served. I will serve you. What do you want? How can I serve you, Bartimaeus? Rabboni, meaning master, would you give me my sight? You know that's teaching you way more than physical sight. This whole thing is. When Jesus healed him that day, can you imagine opening your eyes and for the very first time, the very first one you see is him. What a treasure. But Jesus wants you to know that it's much greater than that. Immediately he says to him, Bartimaeus, go your way. Your faith made you well. Jesus was capitalizing on something he wanted everyone to understand that day. It's remarkable because the whole text has taught you he already sees. It was faith that Jesus was after. It was faith that's the gift of God. It was already given to him. And the reason he wanted to be able to see physically was so now he had the ability to follow him and become a servant. Following his master. That's how the text ends. Immediately he followed him. This is what Jesus is calling us to do. Our whole life then becomes this, following him and becoming a servant to all. Christ came to lay down his life and become a ransom to purchase people back and bring them into his house. Now, I'm not giving a long sermon today. Do you know I'm about ready to stop? But I'm going to leave you with one powerful point, I think. The Bible is showing you over and over and over again in the Gospels that the people who entered were people who had no ability. Remember the invitation to the great feast. I went out and I invited and they made all sorts of excuses. All the people who had everything made all sorts of excuses. They just wouldn't enter. They wouldn't come. So then the master said, go out to the highways and the byways. Go out to the cheap seats. I'll fill my house. So he went out and who came? Well, you know, Jesus said this. When you host a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or brothers or relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may invite you in return and you will be repaid. But when you host a banquet, because he's hosting a banquet, who did he invite? Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you'll be blessed. Since they can't repay you. Hearing gospel in this? You'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. I'm going to give you great rewards. How does a poor man have clothes to come to a great feast? How do the crippled and lame walk to get there? How do the blind, how are they able to see to enter? Jesus. He gets them. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. But he doesn't want repayment. He knows what you are. He came to serve you, and he wants you to receive it today. I think many of you struggle with this. Can God accept? God won't accept. I'm too messy. I'm too filthy. I'm too blind. Well, then you should really see today. He's just passed by you, and he's calling you, and he's saying to you, put your name here. Be of good cheer. He put a name here for a reason. He knows all his sheep by name. Be of good cheer. Come to me. Come to the front. Come to my table. Come to my feast. I've got clothes for you. I've got a banquet spread for you. I will cover you and make everything right, says Jesus, with my life. I've given my life as a ransom for you. What do you... You still won't believe that? You're purchased. This is the ministry that he's preserved for thousands of years now. And you're going to see men get up right now and do what? Come and serve you. We didn't put that into place. This is just not exciting from a human standpoint. They're going to bring you bread and they're going to bring you wine. A feast, anticipating your great feast when Jesus serves you himself again. I know we all have a lot of guilt and shame. I go through it all too. But when you know someone has freely died for you, who is Jesus, by the will of his Father, when you know someone did that for you, and you owe your life to him, you better live it. You better live it. He's calling you. Come to me. Follow me. And simply say thank you. Come to his table today and let him serve you. And be glad. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Father, for such love that you've announced. Thank you for giving your best. Thank you for giving your Son, that we might know this love and know this peace. You have to come and break through hard hearts to see what we are and what we need. Today, may we come with the same kind of childlike faith as Bartimaeus. Believing your word. Thank you for serving us your table, which announces to us the body and the blood of Jesus for us. Forgive us all of our sins and lift us up in your promises and restore us, O Lord. Revive us to the joy of your salvation. Thank you for your glorious announcement today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Again, thank you for taking some of your valuable time and directing it our way. It's greatly appreciated, and we trust you've been encouraged in Christ. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.